So I'm releasing this video from the time I was at Mount St. Helens doing a Bigfoot investigation. And in this video, I pull out all the stops. We even use a helicopter to try to locate any type of Sasquatch activity. Plus, at the very end of the video is a recording of Bigfoot or something, because I've had at least 200 different hunters listening to this, and it is not any type of known animal. I think you'll find this very interesting, and I'd appreciate a like, a share, and a thumbs up, and hit that little notification bell next to the subscribe button so you're notified of all new videos, because YouTube has been shadow banning me really bad. I'd appreciate it. Here we go. So here we are, episode 6. I've been on the road a month. I've taken you across the United States. We've gone up and down the Pacific Coast Highway. We've checked out the Redwoods. We've been to California. We've been to Oregon and back. Now it's time to start the trip. And this trip begins on one of the largest bridges I've ever had to cross in my life. The bridge to Washington State took 7 minutes of driving to get over. But I had something special waiting for me in Washington State that was going to help me get better video. And it was this. With a little help from my friends, we were going to go to some hot spots where Bigfoot has been spotted or seen before and see if we would have any luck locating anything like Bigfoot whatsoever. So you're definitely going to want to sit back, you're going to want to relax, and you're going to want to check this out. So here we are. The real trip begins. I've already spent more than enough time on the West Coast, and I loved it. And I love bringing the footage for you guys to see. And it was awesome. But again, it was time to hit the road. I took the Astoria Megler Bridge. It's a bridge that was opened in 1966, and it's 4.67 miles in length. And it's huge. Route US 101. And this took me right into areas that subscribers had been telling me about for years, where there was a lot of activity, hunters, hikers, everybody else ran into these things. So I wanted to go up there and see Mount St. Helens and some of the mountains up there anyways. I'd never spent any considerable time in Washington State, so that's exactly where I headed. But I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's start at the beginning of this entire trip, shall we? So let's start with this. Maybe you know this or maybe you don't, but years ago, I interviewed Ron Moorhead. Ron Moorhead is a guy that back in the 70s, him and his hunting buddies were up in the Sierra Nevadas hunting whatever they were hunting. I don't remember what it was. It's irrelevant. But here's the deal. They would take pack horses with their supplies in and then leave the horses several miles below their camp and then hike up there and pack everything up themselves. That's how remote this area was. And over the years, Ron and his buddies, heavily armed hunting guys, started recording crazy sounds happening all around their camp. Now, this is back in the 70s, before cell phones, before video cameras. They got everything audio. And I'll tell you what, I've spoken to Ron. I know Ron. I've never actually met him, but I know Ron. And Navy code breakers have listened to the recordings he's made, and other experts, and they're genuine. How crazy is that? Here's a sample of what they recorded in the Sierra Nevada mountains. So if you want to hear the whole interview by Ron Moorhead, I'll leave links to a YouTube video below. But take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying anything either way. I'm just going out to where people told me they've seen evidence. No two ways about it. And I've had an opportunity to speak with someone whose actual recordings were studied by real people that study things like that. And they said they were, in fact, legit. So let's do this. So it's 8 o'clock in the morning. It is Tuesday morning. It's the 20th. And I could either stay where I'm located, plug into a Wi-Fi, and put together a video, because I got so much good footage. The footage I put up thus far is all, makes it look like the trip was just horrible and terrible, which wasn't easy, but it was doable. But then I've got people that want me to come out to Portland. I got Dave and Beth Pruitt that own Amp3.net, the first aid company that I love. They invited me out to their ranch. And I'm told about a place called Wild Willie. Wild Willie in Montana. And I might go that direction. But it's hard to leave this coastline. There's no reason to. I'm getting tons and tons of incredible footage. Just there's no internet on the east, on the western seaboard, I've noticed, for the most part. And for those that think I've suddenly gained weight again, dude, I'm holding a camera this far from my face. It makes you look different. FYI, at any rate. Before I head all the way up into Washington State, it's time to do regularly scheduled maintenance. I got the tires rotated because they're monster tires, and if you don't rotate them every 10,000, you will destroy them. And then I check all the bolts, I check the fluids, I check everything. I take care of my truck, and my truck takes care of me for the most part. It is my vehicle in every sense of the word, at any rate. So it's 10 past 11, and I'm on Long Beach. I'm in Washington State. And I just went over the longest bridge I think I've ever traversed, ever. And I'm on the Lewis and Clark route, because I'm seeing signs every place. And that's awesome. And I'm already seeing wacky Washington people, and I've never seen so many pot shops in my life, except for the Oregon coastline. Apparently, these people enjoy smoking Mary Jane, clearly. And I think it helps them pick out their outfits for the day. Whatever. Judge not. Indeed. So after driving for a while, I stopped on the other side of that enormous bridge because I wanted to get video of the sound. This is the mountains with the ocean running between it, or the Columbia River meeting the Pacific Ocean. And the tankers that are out there are massive. And with the mountains in the backdrop and the forest, it's just amazing. It's utterly epic. And I had never really actually noticed this before. I didn't really know much about Washington State other than the fact that Kurt Cobain came from there, I think. I don't know. But it was definitely a beautiful, beautiful place. Now, this is the bridge that I went across. almost 5 miles long. This bridge is no joke at all. It stretches over the Columbia River. It's the Astoria Megler Bridge, and it's a marvel of, you know, modern technology, etc., along with all the locks and the ships and the tugboats. But what really interested me was this giant wharf that you couldn't walk on. So I went under. Aggressive, and he will have no issue attacking me.
Yeah, your eyes aren't deceiving you. A family of giant otters attacking a crocodile. Other otters attack the monkeys.
Oh no!
Oh my god!
Oh, he died!
No, seriously, they...
So just know that, as cute as otters are, they usually don't travel alone, and they will absolutely attack you, even that little dude, for real. Okay, that's my story about otters. Now, back on the hunt for Bigfoot, or Bigfoot-related things. I had a bunch of coordinates that my subscribers had given me, and I went and checked them out. These were really remote logging roads in Washington State, way off the beaten track. And I went through them, and I looked for all the things that the people that make YouTube videos and documentaries tell you about. Trees bent down a certain way, big X's in the woods, things like that. And I looked, but the brush, the forest was so thick, it was incredible. Anything I saw, I couldn't chart it up to unknown activity or whatever. So in the middle of this alleged hotspot, I set up camp for the night. Now, I'm a city boy, but I'll tell you what, if you're trying to find any type of an animal, mammal, whatever it is, nighttime next to water is where you're going to find them, because everything requires water, and hunting is always better next to water. In my opinion, from what I've been told, from what I've researched, from what I've read, okay, I'm no Bigfoot hunter, but I took this fairly seriously. I used everything available to me. Night vision, drones, helicopters, insane four-wheel drives, and I went out on foot. And there was a lot of things out there, but I'll tell you what, Bigfoot picked a great place to live, because trying to find footprints is next to impossible because of the smooth rock or the overgrowth, one of the two. You know what I'm saying? When tracking Bigfoot, be Bigfoot. Indeed. I took the coordinates that subscribers had sent me over the years, and I went out to some of the most densely populated with trees and underbrush areas off of logging roads, etc., in Washington State that I could find. And I really gave it a real effort to try to locate anything. But the way this place is set up, even finding tracks from a deer or any other wildlife is next to impossible because the ground is covered with this heavy moss, ferns, clovers, etc. Not to mention the canopy above you is so dense, there's barely any sunlight in here.
Tell me that don't look like a Bigfoot right behind that tree. I know it's not, but it's just odd. Maybe it's my eyes, who knows?
Now, the reason I was wearing those particular shoes I just showed you is because they leave the least footprint behind. They don't disturb the ground. And every place that I went looking for tracks or signs or any sign of life in the forest, I left no tracks behind as well. I'll tell you what, it is amazing to me how well you could hide out here because tracking somebody, something, or anything like that is next to impossible. I did find a few strange structures where logs were broken in half and kind of put together like symbols or whatever, but I can't tell you that. It could have just been nature. It's hard to tell. If I was going to find anything at all, I wanted it to be definitive. And this is what the ground looks like. It's incredible. I mean, this would be the best hiding place in the world for something that knew how to move through the forest undetected and move through the forest in an agile way. Because you ain't finding anything out here. It's amazing to me. And I mean, I was really, really trying. After going through this for a couple of days, I finally decided to launch some drones and see what I found, if anything. And putting the drones up was really difficult because of the area that I was in. I was having a tough time telling how far away a mile or 2 or 3 miles actually was. And I ended up losing a drone on this particular day. So that kind of sucked. But when the drone didn't pan out, I started thinking about using other options available. I had already gone through on foot. I had already sent up the drones. And I had already set up night camera. And the only thing that I caught on a night camera was this. And once again, it's totally inconclusive whatsoever at all. Something strange set off the night camera. And I don't know what it was. And it was the only time it happened. So this is what I saw. So whatever set that off in the middle of the night, I was unable to determine. I found no footprints, I found no tracks, and that was pretty much the only odd thing. But then, right before sundown, I picked up this howling, which I don't know what it is at all. I assumed it was coyotes or wolves or maybe a mountain lion, but maybe you can tell what it is, because I can't. Listen to this.
And here we go. Those are either coyotes or wolves. Whatever is howling is creepy. Creepy AF.
So that was creepy, right? I have no idea what it was. I believe it might have been a mountain lion. I heard that they make noises that sound like a woman screaming. And that's exactly what it sounded like, and it was incredibly disconcerting. It definitely sent a shiver up my spine, without a doubt. First time in my entire life I've heard something that creepy. In the woods, alone. So it was time to go meet up with my buddy Ace and jump in the helicopter and see if we could get any better footage from the helicopter or see anything at all. And this took me right by Mount St. Helens once again. I had passed her on the way in, and I was passing her on the way out. And while I was driving through, I noticed an overabundance of military helicopters in the area, and I thought that was really strange. Turns out when I got back to civilization, a lieutenant in the United States Army had gotten lost out in this area, and apparently after a massive search and rescue, they found him, and he had succumbed to the elements, sadly, according to the story. Now, I was in that area the entire time they were looking for this guy, and I had no idea. But I did not find the conditions to be life-threatening at all. There's plenty of life down there, there's plenty of water down there, and the weather was not brutal at all. I mean, I was there simultaneously and had no idea that somebody was out there, quote-unquote, fighting for their life while people were searching for them. But who knows? I don't know the circumstances. Just my two cents because I happened to be there. This is Mount St. Helens. And it's beautiful to look at, as destructive as it was. But the stories about Mount St. Helens eruptions and the United States military and Sasquatch are intertwined big time. But being able to confirm or deny any of it is next to impossible, just like anything else. So it goes down as folklore for the most part. But now it's time to
get to the chopper!
Now, like I had mentioned in previous videos, my buddy Ace was a pilot, and he took me up in his chopper. The only issue is, as soon as I got in the helicopter, I had brought three cameras, because I'm going to have these things hanging out of the windows and all over the place. Yeah, you can't do that. And the worst part is, I dropped my big camera the second I buckled into the chopper. But I still got footage. It just wasn't what I was hoping for. You know, I was hoping we would fly right over, see Bigfoot, get a picture, and it would be on. The area was vast, and it was strange seeing where I was camping the night before from the sky and realizing how close, even though I thought I was way inland, out deep in the forest, I was still relatively close to the ocean, and I had no idea when I was on the ground. So we took the chopper up and we got some footage, but it wasn't what I was hoping for, because there's rules and regulations and you can't skim over the tree line and all that other stuff. But it was still very, very cool to have somebody with the ability to take me up in a helicopter and was willing to do it for the reasons I was asking, because he grew up in this area and Bigfoot in Washington, Oregon, California is just part of life. It's funny that people laugh even though they've never seen anything other than on television or in a magazine. So here's the glamour part. It's 9:20, still light out because I'm on the Pacific. And I'm just basically killing time till it's time to go to sleep. Watching a movie I've seen 300 times. Standing up the entire time because I never bring a chair for whatever reason. But I still love this. And I think I know where the drone is, so that's a score. At any rate, I'm hitting the sack. I am out. Okay, it's Wednesday morning, 6:30. I want to see if you can hear this. Listen to these two crows. Those two have been screaming since 5:30 in the morning. Works out good for me because I'm awake, but wow, that's obnoxious. It's 6:30. I'm at the base of Mount St. Helens, and it is freezing. Freezing in July.
I felt my, I was packing my bag, and I'm like, dude, it's July. You can bring thermal underwear. I'm glad I did. Smart move. At any rate, I'm going straight back to where the drone went down to see if I can locate it. I've got a couple of markers I found on the video that should help me. So, search and rescue is on.
Now, ironically, I had no idea at the time that there was an actual search and rescue going on all around me for the missing Army lieutenant while I'm looking for a drone. I didn't know till after the fact.
Back on the hunt for the lost drone. I think I have some landmarkers here. From the last thing the drone saw. Three trees, a street sign, and a white square on the ground, I think. We'll see. No easy task trying to find this at all. Three trees, street sign, and one of those white squares on the ground. I don't know if you can see how precarious this is, but it is, because it goes straight down. Okay, I'm double-checking that video, because I just walked the wrong way for a long time. And it's awfully early to be going the long way for a wrong time. This is what I'm working with, right here. This is the last piece of footage the drone got. That's what I need to find. And I think that's right over there. The last thing it saw was... a little opening. Those trees, that white square on the other side of the road, and then that white sign. That's what I'm working with. So I am on it. There's the white square. There's the white sign. There's the opening. And there's the trees. She went down right here. Oh, it goes straight down, dude. I'm not sure why I'm surprised, but... it's right in here. I just have to figure out how to get down there without being a search and rescue myself. But it's right here. Man, I wish it made it to the highway. It's right there. I'm using the trees as rope. This is really steep. This is not a trail. Probably all I'm going to get on video, I think. I don't know. This is pretty... I mean, look at the angle. Not even halfway down. There she is. Got it. I am stoked. Now to get out of here. And now to get out of here. I got to get back up there somehow. The thing is, I've got my SE Advanced Survival Kit in the truck, and it does have rope, and I should have brought it. I just didn't think of it because it's 7 in the morning. Look how beautiful these flowers are down here, by the way. I'll tell you what. I don't think a lot of people have been standing where I'm standing. And it goes straight down. You trip or tumble... your bear food or whatever food. And we made it. It was way down there, halfway down there. And I recovered it. And like I said, the controller saved the storage. It wasn't a matter of the price. The drone was under $1,000.
I didn't want to leave a lithium battery sitting in the rain or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, Operation Mavic, Operation DJI Air 2 is a success, as long as my truck is where I left it, because my truck is far away, way down this road. But it's early, and I have faith. After walking a mile, it's good to see the truck still sitting there. There's nobody on this road this morning except me, probably Bigfoot, and these bad boys. I've seen 3, 4, 5 dozen of these already since 7 this morning. That's where your 2x4s come from after they send them to China first for whatever reason. So it's 9:30 in the morning. I just went and retrieved the drone, and now I'm back at the campsite because I didn't pay last night. The dude that let me get a camping spot didn't know how much to charge, so I'm back here to settle up and then head to maybe Portland to meet up with Beth and Dave Pruitt from AMP3 Outfitters. Maybe not, I don't know. This is a pretty cool spot. I didn't see this last night. That's the beauty of pulling in the middle of the night. You wake up the next day and it's entirely different than you thought. At any rate, time to settle up. So after failing to get any footage of any type of a bipedal, large, mythical, often spotted, rarely photographed animal in the Pacific Northwest region that I was in, I settled for the local stuff. And it was just as beautiful. It was great. The entire trip was well worth it, just to that one little piece of America. And I will be back, and I might be back this time around. I don't know. I'm having issues with the vehicle's exhaust once again, so currently I'm in Colorado Springs waiting for the guys that fixed it the first time to fix it again, this time with better parts that I provided, because I ain't playing anymore. One hell of a flotation device. Massive logs. So after making my way back to the coastline, I just happened to stop at a lookout point and instantly looked down on a pod of whales that were breaching the water, which was phenomenal because these things were massive. I'm looking down from about 300 feet with a 240 millimeter zoom lens, and I caught a pod of whales breaching and breaching and breaching, and it was phenomenal. Total score, total happenstance. I've spent the last 6 days in the woods in a helicopter using drones on foot trying to find a large land mammal, and instead found the largest sea mammal instead. So enjoy, because it was phenomenal.
amazing footage, right? Well, it was. At any rate, back to Bigfoot. Now, Bigfoot is laughed at by most of mainstream, but here's the deal. I've been all over the United States. I don't even know how many times. I've been in every state in the country except Hawaii and Alaska. In every place I've gone, people that live in rural areas, people that are upstanding business people, people that are considered good citizens on paper, if they've spent any time in remote wilderness, they've run into one of these things, one way or the other. The military actually has Sasquatch in a Pacific Northwest training manual saying, if you run into one, just go the other way. Don't engage them. I've had a lot of people tell me about these things over the years, and myself and my ex had our own experience in the Green Mountains in Vermont one night. We didn't actually see it, but our pit bull and myself felt it and packed up and got out of Dodge that night. When we got to the bottom of the mountain the next morning, the town that we were in was covered in Bigfoot paraphernalia, and the locals just knew it as something to be true. At any rate, sadly, I didn't get any footage of that in this video, but it was a good, good trip nonetheless. At any rate, if you enjoyed this video, make sure you hit that like, share, and subscribe. Leave a comment. I'll try to return the favor. And links to the other 5 episodes of this series will be pinned in the description box below. I am out.